You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, episode 274, and happy new year, listeners. I hope that you have enjoyed a really nice holiday break and that you are ready to start 2021 and tackle it head on. And we hopefully on this show have got a few top tips for you, because it is all about New Year's resolutions, setting challenges for yourself, and how you can set yourself up to succeed. And I have got two excellent guests. I will start by welcoming Dan Byrne from Echo Ratings. D, good to have you with us.
Oh, great to be back, Nicole. Full of vigor now after a restful holiday season and ready to tackle 2021, which is going to be an excellent year, I feel.
Ah, good. That is what we like to hear. Bit of a nice enthusiasm. Excellent. My second guest is going to be giving us some very good advice, and it is none other than Coach Sando, Tony Sandoval from Coach Sando Training. Coach Sando, I always want to call you that, but actually, Tony, thank you for coming on the show once again.
Thank you for having me. I would look forward to being on the podcast. And I think, like Dee mentioned, I am definitely ready to tackle 2021 full force.
That's what we like to hear. Okay, so what we often hear, I guess, at the start of the year is it's a new year fitness drive. Everybody has overindulged over the festive period and they're kind of thinking, do you know what? I'm going to hit the ground running. And I want to get fitter. I want to improve my fitness, build my strength, all of those sort of things, Tony, going into January. But I guess the key is to make it a long-term goal, things that people can actually keep going for the whole of the year and really stick to as well. So that is what we're hoping to help people with. I guess the first step is, what should people do if they're looking to kind of change their fitness routines or build strength or even just get, I guess, on the first rung of the ladder in improving their fitness, specifically for equestrian activities or for riding, eventing, those sorts of things? Where would you start? What would be your first bit of advice?
So my first piece of advice is to actually create a plan or a goal and write it down on a piece of paper, because now the goal actually gets into reality, you can see it, and then you can start to organize your months and weeks and days to so that you can see where it actually is going to fit into your schedule. So the problem is a lot of people have these goals and they just keep it in their head, because now if it's out in the real world, now they're held accountable. So some people that might not be their ultimate goal, right? So I always think, and I tell a lot of my clients, let's write them down. Let's see which ones are going to be manageable, which ones are going to be something that maybe is a great goal, but we can work on later on. That way we keep all our energy on the ones that are in front of us that we can actually achieve short term moving into long term.
I was going to say, so would you recommend a sort of one big goal and then breaking sort of shorter steps down to get to that? Or do you take it one step at a time? What's the best way of dealing with it?
I actually do go big and then work it down and reverse engineer it. And I even go a little further than that. And I got a lot of my inspiration and my ideas from this book that I read a while ago by BJ Fogg. It's called Tiny Habits. And basically what I do is I take some type of behavior that I'm trying to change. In this case, we're going to say I want to include fitness more into my daily routine. Well, what's the smallest thing that you can do every day that will keep you going or moving towards that goal? So I'll give you an example. I am currently trying to improve my video recording skills or being on camera so that I can be as excellent as the Nicole Brown. So what do I do? I every day when I'm now, it's a habit that I want to create. So every time I go into my truck and I'm going somewhere very close, I just have a little mount on my dashboard and I hook up my phone and I just push play. And I just for like a minute, talk about something and try to be natural and not, start worrying about what I'm going to say. So it's very tiny, I can always do it. It's something that I can continue to do it, but these little miniature projects will eventually add up to 30 days, 60 days. And before you know it, you know, I'm going to be on TV as a movie star, you know, and who knows, but that's how I like to approach it. So now if I take it back to fitness, it's going to be, okay, well, how about we start somewhere small? Let's start stretching. So putting a yoga mat out in the middle of the floor. And when you wake up, you're going to see it. And you know what? It's just going to be one stretch. Okay, you got it done. Okay, now back to the coffee. And it's something that you can do every day. It's very minimal as far as motivation. You don't need it because it's just so simple just to do it. And then from there, you keep building these tiny habits and you give yourself a reward. And the research shows from Dr. Fogg is when you celebrate these little small goals, then it becomes immediately hardwired into something that you do more often. So the big thing about creating new habits is always it takes 30 days to create a new habit. And what Dr. Fogg has mentioned is no, it doesn't. It takes the right type of celebratory motion, action, so that the brain goes, I like this. And I'm going to continue to do this because I like feeling good about it, what just happened. And so I think to tie it all up is if you're going to start, have your goal, break it down into something that is going to be very manageable. Now break it down even more on these little habits that you can do that are going to keep adding up to eventually getting to your ultimate goal.
Yeah, that makes sense. Would you say that people should, obviously you want to celebrate the fact if you've stuck to something and you've achieved one of these small goals, do you encourage people to actually set themselves a treat if they get there?
I mean, yes, because that's going to be something that is going to motivate them for that instance. Now, we don't want to work completely out motivation, but it's going to give them that dopamine response. And dopamine is a neurotransmitter that is going to help you ingrain that habit, ingrain that type of behavior so that you can change it. So a lot of times it's not so much as it's convincing people that fitness is good. It's changing behavior. And the more I get to know people, especially the clients that I work with, the better I can create plans for them to say, okay, this is what's going to give you some better, we'll say, strategies to change your behavior so that now the fitness component is part of your daily life instead of something that you dread to do. You don't have no time. All these things start coming about because at the end of the day, you just don't want to do it. But you know it's good for you. So it's how do we change that behavior?
Yeah, absolutely. Dan, from a, I guess, off-season perspective, you know, events are going to start sort of picking up speed over the next sort of weeks and months. What can you do from a sort of a performance analysis perspective and sort of goal setting as to what you want to achieve over the coming months in terms of performance? And I guess you have to start by looking at where you are now and kind of breaking that down so that you have a true reflection of what you're currently achieving.
You've been on lots of these shows with me, Nicole, haven't you? My MO with these things. But to be honest, before I go there, I think it's so great to listen to Tony when it's the exact same language, you know, performance analysis, when we talk about marginal gains, when we talk about kind of setting objectives. There's one or two interesting things that I'd love to start on just before we go into the kind of more detailed and specific goal setting, because that specificity is such a critical element of actually achieving these goals. But one thing that I'd love to talk to Tony about is even at a higher level, and I know we only have limited time on podcasts, but we could do this forever, I'm sure. But even at a higher level, one of the things that we talk about before setting that big goal is defining the purpose. And it's something that I think, you know, Tony, when we talk about that dread or that not having the time to do it, and I love that idea of the tiny habits and making these very small micro improvements that will eventually help you reach your goal. But one of the things we talk about is to ensure that you have spent enough time thinking about why you want to achieve this. And that becomes another key driver in ensuring that you can stay on track. And again, like Tony said, I think writing it down is a really critical thing. I know from a business point of view, we you know, we came off the back of a very difficult 2020. But one of the exercises which we engaged in as a team was to look at why we do what we do at Equa Ratings. What keeps us going when we know events are being cancelled, when we can see our contracts getting smaller, when we know our clients are under pressure? How can we as a team stay motivated? And I think that reflects pretty well on this conversation as well, Nicole. So yes, absolutely, setting a goal, writing it down, and we're going to come to that and discuss it in a little bit more detail now again, but also knowing why you do it. You know, why are you getting up and minding all the horses and traveling for hours and sometimes days to get to the shows? What's it all about for you? And I think at this time of year, well, there is still a little bit of a chance to think, and it's something that we don't do in our busy lives all that much, but while there is a little bit of time to think, I think just having that moment of reflection before you go into the back onto the kind of conveyor belt of progress, which we're all constantly fed, I think it's really good to just take a little bit of time to say, okay, what am I doing and why am I doing it? And that becomes a key driver as to what sustains you on the difficult days.
Yeah, and actually, a lot of people, we've talked about it from the sports psychology perspective as well. You're doing it because you enjoy it. And ultimately, that has to be the bottom line. Is if a lot of people, if you're getting up every day to go to the barn and you're juggling your work, family life around this huge commitment, you want to be able to enjoy it. So if you're not enjoying it because you get really nervous, then maybe look at changing that and sort of helping yourself to kind of get on that pathway to really, really enjoying it and doing what you love. And I guess, Dee, you touched upon it a little bit there, that everybody's plans changed massively this year. So actually, it's not a bad thing if your goal gets reviewed. And if you have to change it and set a new goal or a new target, then that's completely okay as well. You know, it doesn't have to be totally set in stone. I know a lot of people totally rethought what they were doing this year, and actually in some cases it proved really, really successful for them.
Yeah, I think you can kind of think about it like a pyramid, Nicole, where at the top of it you have your purpose, and then below that you begin to set goals or objectives. And then below that, again, you set your tactics, or, you know, your micro steps that Tony's talking about, where you're able to start to begin to build habits which can help you sustain towards those objectives and goals on that middle level. But things will always change. You know, this year was a great example, as you say, but things will always change along that. And that might mean a change in your tactics and your habits and things. You might need to change your path. But why I always say the purpose piece at the top is so important is because that bit will usually remain, or can remain if you plan it well enough, that bit can remain as a constant. So regardless of the changing circumstances, you're able to change the things you're doing, but you know that you're hopefully still moving towards what your purpose is. So, you know, it's an easy, and Tony will be aware of this, where, and you as well, Nicole, where particularly at this time of the year, but more and more just across the year, again, as we are all constantly almost plagued with this idea of constant progress in our lives, that actually some of these things just become buzzwords. And one of the things that I think has become a bit of a buzzword is purpose-driven or purpose-led approach. It is a really important thing, but people hear this jargon all the time. And, you know, you're listening to a podcast, you're just trying to get through the start of the year. You know, I really want to sit down and think about a purpose-driven approach and what it all means. So what I think is important is to try and remove all the jargon and the complexity that people like to build up around this stuff, and remember that really it's only just sitting back and thinking, why am I doing this? Then thinking, what is it I want to achieve? And then beginning to build those habits or begin to set those goals which will help you get there. And I think, Tony, I'm sure you'd agree, trying to keep it specific and also keep it simple are key parts of getting there.
Yeah, I completely agree. Having the top of the pyramid be the variable that is constant, and then being something that I like to call agile in your performance, meaning your plans are going to change. considering what's going on or what happened in 2020, but your constant will be that top of the pyramid, that purpose. And there are plenty of ways to get there. It's just having that agility that only comes with writing down that specific goal. And that way you can say, okay, I am agile enough. And I think what I try to do with that word is to replace it, instead of using it failed or I didn't achieve my goal. Well, you just have to be agile enough to make another plan to get to the same place. And it gives people this different mindset that change or maybe a roadblock that hit in their way is okay. You're learning and you're finding ways to now make these appropriate adjustments and still continue on, which in my head, that skill that you're learning is also going to be hopefully displayed when you're performing. Because whose plan actually goes according like they actually planned it when you're showing? Things go wrong, the weather, the footing, your horse. And so you have to have this skill of being agile. And what better way to practice it than by creating this goal and then having a plan and then seeing it change and you calling it something more, I think, in a different perspective or lens that you're looking at it, like being agile.
And I guess that actually as well goes back to the first point of when you have these small successes, you feel good about yourself. So if you make a small change because you know, something hasn't quite gone to plan, so you've been agile enough to change to a different plan and that's been successful, then again, yeah, that in itself is a win. There's a really, really good point. I think really, really valuable for sort of making long-term changes, which we'll come on to the best to do that in a second. But Dee, from goal setting, where would you start? What if somebody wants to analyze their performance and sort of set themselves performance related targets, where would you start with that?
That's a big question, Nicole, because everybody sets different goals and you're always, I'm so nervous about giving like really bland and vague advice, and also it's so difficult to give a really specific example, but I think maybe talking about it from an example point of view is the easiest. I think the first thing is a lot of people start at this time of the year when they look at their performance and you say, what's your goal? What's your objective? And most people will immediately go to something like, I want to get better, or I want to finish in the top five, or I want to win a training level event this year. And I think all of those goals and all of those objectives are dangerous because they're all, well, getting better requires you to find out where you are now, as you were touching on, and then having a kind of a yardstick or a benchmark against which to measure against whether you're getting better. And that seems like a really simple thing, Nicole, but an awful lot of people don't do that. An awful lot of people don't take the time at this point to assess, where am I now? So this objective and feeling of wanting to make progress becomes very difficult to measure and becomes almost impossible to manage that improvement if you don't know where you are now. So the very first step, I would say, with making a goal is to find out where you are now. You know, in the fitness world, or not even in the kind of, I suppose, in one area where we see it in front of us all the time, and none of us would even bat an eyelid, if you wanted to lose weight, then most people would think it would be okay to weigh yourself now and then begin your journey to losing weight if that was what your objective was. Whereas too often in performance analysis and in getting better, most people don't take the time to stand on the scales. They don't take the time to say, where am I now? And I think that's the very first thing, just to take the time at this time of year before the season really begins to kick in to look at a couple of measurements. One would be the 6RA, which is the 6-run average. So just taking your last 6 dressage tests and adding them together, dividing by 6 and finding your 6-run average. And the 6-run average is a really good starting point of where you're currently performing in the dressage phase. It sounds very simple, but there's actually quite a lot of data science behind it, which is why we use 6 and not 10 or not 3. But 6 is a really accurate, really good number, and you would be shocked at how often people will be within a mark or half a mark of their 6-run average. So in the same way as you might stand on the scales, if the first phase is something you want to know about, I would really recommend taking the time to look at your last six dressage tests, not making an excuse, not looking at seven and taking one out, just take the six of them and get your six run average. And you can do that then for each of the phases. Nicole, we've got quite simple measurements in each of them, but the real key starting point is, where am I now? And we've, I mean, there's a couple of articles published in the USEA magazine and they're on the USEA website around these simple metrics, around goal setting, and all of them are they're designed to be achievable. They're designed not to make you feel like you've done a day's work and you've got to go in and do more work. So the six run average, take a look at your last 10 cross country rounds and give yourself a percentage of how many of them were clear. You can look at your last six show jumping rounds and look at your average penalties over the six rounds. You can look at your three fastest cross-country rounds from your last 10. There's lots of simple ones, but whatever metric you choose, I would say don't miss the fact that you've got to stand on the scales. You've got to know where your starting point is. And that begins to guide your goal setting. That begins to get you into the realm of achievable goals and understandable goals. When you see that six run average and you come out with a 31.5, now you've got a starting point, which can be very motivating for lots of people, which is, I'm a 31.5 according to this. And now you begin to think, how do I bring that to a 30? And then those micro habits and those micro goals begin to kick in. But now you've got a really clear path going from 31.5 to 30. The alternative is to say, I really want to get better at dressage this year. I'm going to go out into the arena every day and practice. Now, you might get better. You probably will if you do it every day, but it's very hard to measure if you don't know where you're starting.
Yeah, agree completely. And actually, in a lot of these, you might be really pleasantly surprised. You might look at it and think, oh, actually, I'm better at that than I thought I was. And you can set a different target to what you were thinking of, or yeah, you might have been kind of kidding yourself slightly. And actually, it might sort of make you think, bit of a wake-up call, actually, that is something I really need to focus on. So that is where my goals yeah are going to be focused.
Nicole, most people are on the second one. Across all levels of the sport, almost all of us believe we're a little bit better than we often are. There is some examples where you get nice surprises. But more often than not, why we don't like to measure things is because we're happier living in the bubble.
Like the answer.
Well, yeah, but and that's understandable and fine. But if you actually want to make the progress, it does take that short, sharp piece of reality, which you can do very privately and do when you're feeling resilient enough to do it. But it is I would say a really, really worthwhile exercise if you do want to make that progress.
Yeah, I think that's a very fair point. And Tony, I guess from that perspective, if you have a goal and you have something to aim for, whether it be that you want to get better at dressage, and you say to your dressage trainer, right, I would like to get from my six run average being a 31.5 to a 30, or I would like to improve my strength because I feel that my fitness when I'm riding cross country is letting my horse down. If you have that idea, then you can go to your trainers, you can go to people like yourself and actually discuss it with them and make a plan. And there will be people to help you make that plan together and come up with some different ideas as well.
Right. And, you know, I think you took that idea right from me, because I was just going to mention a top tip would be to get a coach. Sometimes it is difficult to look at that score and then feel resilient enough to understand it. And I just made a post yesterday about what makes or what traits does a coachable athlete have. And that's one of them, is being able to take scores like that and say, okay, this is my baseline. Okay, now what do I do? Because, you know, for whatever reason, that's self-assessment is very difficult for people, especially the younger generation that are, for whatever reason, are not as resilient and are very impatient. And so it's very difficult. So for my first advice would be, get a coach to help you develop a plan, learn how to interpret these tests in a way that you're going to be able to say, okay, so your dressage needs work. And you think, according to your trainer and yourself, that it's strength. You don't have the strength to start to execute these riding techniques or tactics at a more efficient and consistent level. Great. Here's what we're going to do to test your strength and then move from there. And, you know, doing it on your own sometimes might not be as easy as it would seem because you have to face yourself. And let me tell you, there is nobody better to assess oneself than yourself, because when you take the test, you're going to have you're going to have two perspectives on this. One, you're going to have a lot of energy because you know you've done all the things that you need to do, so you can't wait to get on this test and show how the improvements. Or two, you know you haven't done anything, and now this test is going to actually show the level of commitment that you have, and now you stand compromised within yourself. Obviously, a coach is just trying to determine a starting point. And that there is where the help comes in, is when you feel like you might let yourself down or let your trainer down, a coach is there to say, this is where we're at. Now let's just develop a plan. Be agile. Don't think of this as a failure. Let's just think of this as our plan. This is what we need to develop our plan. And then let me help you keep you accountable so that you can reach your goal and help you make these adjustments in your training and help you manage your stress and help you manage all the other things that you have going on so that we can accomplish it around the same time frame that you have in mind.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really valid point. I think all of these actually build towards, I guess, the ultimate, because as we said at the start of the show, you get to a new year and you think, you know what, it's going to be a new me this year. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And you have some really great ideas and there's lots of enthusiasm. But actually, I always find January and February pretty tough because, you know, the excitement of Christmas has gone, and it probably will be this year as well, because a lot of people are thinking, oh, 2021 is a new year. 2020 has been really hard, but you know what? It's all going to change. And actually, it isn't just going to change overnight. And there's still going to be some challenges that lie ahead that will probably get a few people down. So it's going to be really tough to kind of, I suppose, keep the momentum going. So what we want to do is be able to set these goals, set these targets. And even if you have to be agile enough to change your pathway, to be able to keep them long term and actually to be able to make some really good life changes that you can take through not only next year, but into the years going on as well. Okay, so let's just refresh the top tips that we've got. Get on the scales, find out where your starting point is, whether that it is literally or just figuring out where you are with your performance and actually having your starting point so you can actually measure where you're going and when you get there, be able to reward yourself along the way. Set yourself some goals, whether it be a target way in the future, but break it down so you hit those small sort of milestones and can celebrate those. And if you need people to help you, get those people to help you. Get a friend involved, you know, talk to your friends and actually say, let's do this together and kind of make a bit of a plan and use coaches and all those sorts of things of people that will be able to help you. You're not on your own with it. Is there anything else, Tony, from your perspective that you would like to add in there?
I think that's it. I think the only extra little tip that I would add is make this fun and enjoyable. This at the end of the day is towards something that you really enjoy, and celebrate all the little wins that you get, because again, the more dopamine we can create, the better you're going to have the opportunity to create these habit or behavior changes. And those are going to benefit you, not just you, but you also your horse as well.
Yeah, I think that's a very good point. And it's all about partnership. And you can set different goals for you and for your horse and together. Dee, how about from you?
Yeah, I think that's a really good point from Tony, and as well from you. Just you kind of touched on it as we were coming to the end of that last section, where 2020 as a whole is a year that I think most people around the world would like to forget in lots of ways. And it's been a difficult year, I'd say, for almost everybody. We've all had our plans change and we've all been challenged in lots of ways that we didn't expect. I think it's a really important thing to mention along the same lines as making it fun is just to be kind to yourself. I think it's a difficult thing. I thought long and hard about this podcast around progress and even whether, you know, just whether we wanted to push a podcast about progress. And it's not, I think it's such an important thing, and it's so relevant in this time of year that absolutely we should, but I think it should always come from, and in this case, I hope it does, come from the point of view and the platform of, it's been a tough time, and it's okay for you not to feel full of enthusiasm and vigor, and you won't all the time across these early months of the year. And just being kind to yourself to recognize that actually sometimes standing still is still making progress. You know, it doesn't always have to be checking Instagram to see how everyone else is doing and this kind of curse of comparison. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important just to remember that actually everybody is doing great, just to be here, to still be going, to be willing to listen to a podcast about progress, and to still want to make gains. So I think it's important to remember to be kind to yourself in these early months. You have to be honest with yourself and have the reality checks every so often, but not all the time, not every day. And in these early months, as we all feel our way into 2021, and we hope for more positive news as we go through the year, that we're all back together in the way that we were a couple of years ago, eventing and together and in each other's houses and back at parties and all dancing again. I think it's okay for these early couple of months of the year just to remember to take a step back and recognize that actually what you're doing now is probably perfect, and not to be worrying about it too much.
Yeah. And actually, you know, all of these things can be applied to anything in everyday life. So no matter how big your idea or your challenge or your resolution is, or how small it is, then just embrace it, because that is enough. That is all you could ask for. And hopefully there will be some ideas in this show that will be able to kind of guide you on your way, no matter how big that is. I would second that whole, just give social media a bit of a pinch of salt, because it can be really depressing to see everybody having a wonderful time or, you know, doing amazing things. But do you know what? Actually, social media isn't always the full picture. And it's not always the full truth. So just bear that in mind and don't let it get you down in any way. I do you know what? There's a lot from this show that I know you've both helped me with and that I'm going to look into for 2021. So thank you, Tony. Thank you, Dee. It's much appreciated.
No problem, Nickers. You can contact me anytime, as you know.
You'll be my new coach, Dee.
Every day. I will never be your coach, Sando, as you know, Nicole. There's absolutely zero chance of me being able to get the kind of gains that you have gotten in 2020. This year. So no, I think I will leave your current coach in place.
Thank you both. Tony, thank you as well, and good luck and best wishes for 2021.
Thank you so much.
Listeners, we hope that you've enjoyed this show. A very, very happy new year, as we have said. We really appreciated all of the support last year, and we cannot wait to bring you some exciting things in 2021. But as I say, I hope there has been a few top tips on this show to help get you started. Stay safe, and we'll be back on the USCA official podcast very soon. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening to the USCA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.